our 3 o'clock service. It's good to see some folks I don't know. And I've been in the church a little over 2 years. So for those of you who have been here a long time ago and I don't know you, welcome. Good to see you back here. Okay. Hopefully all of you have a ready copy of the 101 book. We left them in the rows from morning service. If you don't have one, we have a few up here that we can get out to people.
Here this afternoon for the memorial service of Pastor Gary Freeman. We thank the Lord that he is with the Lord. Amen. And these things, according to the scriptures, We know. Amen. We don't have to wonder, guess. We know based on the word of God. Amen. And we thank God for that. We have with us gathered in this memorial service some brothers that are preachers, friends of Brother Gary that you probably don't even know me. And you're wondering, who is this up here? My name is Brother Matt Renzi. I'm from the city of Philadelphia. Please don't hold that against me. Some call it the city of Philadelphia, and that's okay. We call it the city of brotherly shove. But nonetheless, Pastor Panicetti, Dominic Panicetti, is my father-in-law. I've been filling in for Pastor Freeman for the last few months as he's not been feeling well. And by God's grace, I was telling the church that I'll fill in as long as the Lord will allow me to until they find somebody. And so we covet your prayers on that. But I noticed Brother Dave Smith with us. I know Brother Dave a little bit. I don't know if he remembers me, but we actually had dinner one time years ago at the Smorgasbord over there in Lancaster. What is that big one? Shady Maple. Absolutely. And so... Anyway, Brother Dave, would you be so kind to come up and open our memorial service with a word of prayer? And also, would you take a few moments to express your memories of our brother? Because I know you knew him as well. And then what we're going to do is we're going to, by the way, we're winging this service. It's not, there's nothing set. What we'd like to do is basically have everybody take opportunity. Everybody'd like to. I believe we're going to, we have somebody going to have the microphone. Yeah. All right, so. Okay, and leading the singing? Yes. All right, it's going to be a little difficult, but we'll see what happens here. I can't carry a note, so I will not be leading the singing. I think Brother Freeman, if he was here, he would not let me lead the singing. But nonetheless, what we want to do is we want people to have opportunity just to take a few seconds to express maybe a fond memory. The memory of the just is blessed. Amen. And our brother was, certainly was just in the fact that he was saved, but he was also very righteous in his condition. And we thank God for that as well. And we are asking if you'd be so kind, because we do have a good gathering, if you would just make it brief. And also we're thinking about songs. We have no list of songs, so we're going to kind of just go with if you're a member here especially, and maybe one of the songs that, kind of Brother Gary liked and loved and that really kind of, you kind of, I guess, were kinship with that, that you say, I'd like to sing this one. Now, I will say this. We cannot sing in my father's house, okay, because we're saving that for last. That was one of Brother Freeman's favorite hymns, Everything's All Right in My Father's House. And boy, does he know that now. Amen. And so we're going to start off with, our brother, Pastor Dave, if you'll be so kind to open us in a word of prayer and give a word, if you would, please.
Shall we look to God in prayer? Yeah. Our Father in heaven, we just pause to acknowledge your presence here with us. We thank thee, Lord, for the comfort of the Spirit who ministers to our spirit and reminds us of the promises of your word. And Father, they are the unshakable foundation for our faith, and knowing that when we pass from this life, we enter into the heavenlies in the very presence of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have redemption and forgiveness. And we just pause to thank thee, O God, for your mercies. And we thank thee for the testimony of Pastor Freeman. We thank you, Lord, for his faithfulness, his love for you, his love for your word, his obedience to the call, his convictions, his faithfulness as a father, as a grandfather, as a preacher, as a husband. We thank you for him. And we commit him unto thee, and we thank thee, Father, that he, being dead, yet speaketh. We thank thee for the legacy he's left, and for his church here, this New Testament assembly that you've ordained, a lighthouse here in Allentown. And Lord, we thank thee for his wife, Donna. We thank thee for his children, especially Jason, for the music, the ministry that you've given them. And Lord, we thank thee that your compassions are new today, that you understand our grief, and you reach down to us in the valley of the shadow of death to uplift us, to comfort us, to remind us of your promises, to give us your peace that passes understanding. We thank thee. And we thank thee that thy word is truth, and we know whom we have believed. We're persuaded you're able to keep that which committed to you till that very day. And now that our brother's with you, I pray you'll help us, O Lord, to love and serve you as he showed in his life, to be found faithful that we might be fruitful. Until we meet at your feet and we're able to see each other again in the great reunion, we look forward to it. We ask your blessing on this moment. We pray that it'll bring glory and honor to our Savior who purchased us with his own blood, and also that it'll be a tribute to the testimony of this servant, this soldier, whom we love and whom we'll miss. We just ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I thank God for this church. What a joy and a blessing it is to have fellowship with you people. And we were able to be here for the service. We appreciate the service. And I especially pray for comfort for Donna. I thank God for Donna. Thank God for the family. Thank God for the grandchildren. And for this guy that plays this music over here. When we got together, I think of Pastor Freeman. It reminds me of Psalm 40. He put a new song in my mouth, even praise to our God. He always had a song of praise in his mouth. I told our people when they saw that video of Pastor Freeman. And when we hear the song later, the last song I heard him sing was... That was the song about in my father's house. And that was 3 weeks before we saw him at hospice. When we did finally see him, Donna, he was non-responsive. Although he did raise his, he brought his hands out from underneath the sheet. So I knew he was reaching out to us. But what a change in those 3 weeks from when we saw him in your home and he was praising God. I told our people when they saw that, I said, I hope I can die that way. I hope I can die with a song like that, with assurance like that. And have a testimony like that when I go into the other side. That'd be a joy and a blessing. I'll just mention this to you and I'll be done. I want to mention that through Pastor Freeman for 42 years, if he didn't have any other fruit, and I know he had tons of fruit, but if he had no other fruit, I had forgotten that John and Debbie Vassell were members of this church when it came down to CBC. And they're choice servants. I can't even remember when they came down. Craig might know. It might have been 2007. They came to CBC. They came, they faithfully served. John was a true soldier. He replicated a Pastor Freeman. He had a heart like Pastor Freeman. And so how many of you knew that Pastor Freeman had led him to Christ? Did you know that? He led the Vassells to Christ. They came down to CBC. They were there for several years. And then they left to go out to Alliance, Nebraska and help with that church plant out there. Pastor Gruber and Heartland Baptist Church have been faithful members there for years. And now she suffers greatly with cancer. She's just a few weeks away from going home to glory. So I thought about that. Pastor Freeman's there. He sees the Savior. She's soon going to be there. And they'll see each other. And she'll remember that Pastor Freeman led her to Christ. So I appreciate the fact that he was a soul winner and he was a faithful servant. I appreciate the fact of his convictions on God's word. And I just want to say this. It says in 2 Peter 3:15, you folks know the verse, 1 Peter 3:15, sanctify the Lord God of hosts in your heart and be ready always to give an answer of the hope that is within you with meekness and fear. That reminds me of Pastor Freeman. He was a bold witness and never lacked for convictions to say something about God and about his Savior. And though we love to sing and the song just poured out of him, and I'm going to miss that, he could conduct an old-fashioned Biblicist Baptist Separatist Singspiration better than anybody I know. I'm going to miss that. But I do want to say that out of his mouth came the Word of God. And so we had a service one time. It was about a year ago to this month, the month of April. It was a year ago. And he happened to come down. I don't remember, Don, if you were there or not. But I had 12 preachers lined up, and they were preaching one after another. And Gary sat through the whole thing. And we got down to the evening service, and one of the preachers couldn't make it. I said, Brother Freeman, do you think you could preach for us? Folks, he got up there and jumped up there, and he preached a powerful message. We prepared for our messages. I said, if he does that good unprepared, it must really come out of him when he's prepared. It was powerful. So you had a great servant of Christ. We love him. We love his family. I thank you for his faithful testimony. It's an honor and a privilege to have known a man like that. And I hope I'll be able to be faithful as he has been faithful. And not be ashamed of the word of God the way he was. So I commend you people. I pray for the comfort of God just to surround this assembly for God's will to be done. God bless you folks.
In the regular blue hymn book, 673.
Thank you.
moments. What we want to do is we have several preachers here that I'm not personally familiar with. I think I met one brother when we were at the little prayer meeting for Pastor Freeman, but we have a couple preachers here, and we'd love to give them the first opportunity to just express maybe some good memories of our dear brother that they had, especially. Now, I will say this, and I don't want nobody to get afraid. Some of these preachers have evening services that need to get to, so we want to make sure that, you know, they, if they have to slip out, that does not mean, I promise you, that we're going to be here all night, okay? I was a little leery about saying that. I'd like the preachers to go first, you know, because they have services. Some people think, oh, hold on, does that mean? No, we won't be here forever, amen, that's for sure. But dear brother preachers, is there a brother preacher that'd like to just testify? Would brother, come on forward, would you? I know this is a dear brother from Allentown. I met him at our prayer meeting, and I know he's a good friend of Pastor Freeman. And thank you, brother, for coming. Appreciate that.
Faith Baptist Church in Allentown, and it's been a blessing for us to know Brother Freeman being here in the valley. He's been here longer than I have been, and preaching the word of God and being faithful in the valley, and we appreciate that so much. But one brief experience we had with Brother Freeman about 3 years ago, well, maybe about 2 years ago. On Halloween, during the Halloween thing, you know, here in Catasauqua, he said that they have the parade here on Race Street, and so they close up the streets, so they're not able to have service. And so one Wednesday night, he shows up at our church, you know, and some of his people there, and so we had good fellowship. And so the next year, I figured, well, brother's going to come, So he came, and I said, "Brother, if I knew you were coming, I would have asked you to preach." I said, "Can you preach?" He said, "Yeah." Well, he followed the advice of a preacher friend of ours from years ago. He says, "A preacher's always got to be ready to preach, pray, and die." Yeah. Amen. Yeah. And so without hesitation, Brother Freeman stood up in the pulpit there at Faith Baptist Church and gave a good preaching lesson that night for our people, and we appreciate that so much. We do pray for our sister Donna and Jason, your family, and your sister and her family, and your dad and your mom, and you know, I think you have an aunt and so forth and so on, and as well as the members here at Ray Street Baptist. We pray that the Lord will bring you through this episode in your existence, and we're praying for the Lord to send you a man that will take you to the next level, amen. Continue the work and even go further than what the Lord did through Brother Freeman. And so you can count on us to be praying for you. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that.
We're going to be singing in a sweet by and by. But before we do, you know, when our brother got up and talked about Brother Freeman being here in the valley, well, I took that in a double way. You know, he's here in a valley, Lehigh Valley, but with his situation, he was in another valley as well. But he's not in that valley no more. I mean, as they were singing yesterday about sing up on that mountain, amen, he's up high singing. We thank God for that. We're going to sing in the sweet by and by. And if we have another preacher, brother, that's ready, please, we'll have you come up in a moment.
690 in the hymn book. 690.
Yeah.
preachers do we have here? Is there any other preachers that are here this afternoon with us? Any other preachers? Okay, because we wanted to make sure they had a first opportunity. All right, what we're going to do now is we're going to, I guess we'll hold off on that song, because what we're going to do is those who'd like to give a brief testimony, we're going to ask what your favorite song was in connection to Brother Freeman. But before we do that, I do want to read a letter that was sent by Dr. Don Jasmine. He sent a letter of eulogy, and he says, "Pastor Gary Freeman was a beloved and close companion in the Lord for several decades. We enjoyed rich and sweet fellowship and co-laboring in the Lord. Pastor Freeman was an uncompromising biblicist, fundamentalist, who never wavered in his dedication and devotion both to his Savior and to the saints whom he ministered. He now rests in perfect peace. Brother Freeman was especially gracious and kind to this evangelist and writer, having yours truly preach for him on many occasions and Bible conferences and meetings. He was consistent in his militant stance for the faith once delivered unto the saints, as well as compassion for the lost, a rare combination indeed. Another commendable spiritual trait was his willingness to stand by the stuff when times were tough. For 41 years, he pastored the Ray Street Baptist Church through adverse and tough times. He never chose to opt out because it was difficult in his circumstances. His spiritual companionship and fellowship will be greatly missed by this preacher as well as his former congregation. My deepest sympathies to his wife and to his family, his wife for 39 years, who's been his wife for 39 years, and to his extended family." And that was Dr. Don Jasmine sending his condolences. Is there somebody you'd like to take just a moment to give a testimony, a memorial? And also maybe a song that really connects you and our brother.
Three small things. Back in 1990, I called the pastor and I told him sadly that I could not attend Craig and Rosie Mull's wedding, which took place in April. And he could tell in my voice something was wrong. I just told him that. I didn't tell him anything else. And I'm going to get choked up, of course. But he showed up at my door, which was about a mile away, in 2 minutes flat. And it shocked me. And he just could tell something was in my voice that was wrong. And he knew it needed emergency care. And he came down lickety-split to find out what was going on and what he could do to help. And I'm reminded of the verse in Zechariah 4:10 that says, "For who hath despised the day of small things?" It was a small thing, but to me it was big. Secondly, he used to do services, or not services, but teaching at home. Somebody came in who was new, was not familiar with dispensationalism, or if they were a new Christian, he would take 6 or 8 weeks or however many weeks it took to personally go to your house, sometimes with Donna, sometimes without, and teach the foundation of the dispensationalism and get people grounded so that when they heard him preaching, they knew where he was coming from. And, he wasn't getting overtime for that. He was doing that freely because he was a pastor who cared for his flock and was zealous of his flock and wouldn't let any error come in. Third thing is, on Sunday school, Sunday morning services, if anybody's ever attended that with Gary, once in a while, he used to go off schedule. He used to go off track. Maybe he'd talk about current events, or maybe it had to do with the message at hand, but he'd open it up to questions, and we could spend the entire service just asking questions and imparting information that we were privy to and sharing it with everybody. And it was just a precious time. It was always a good, refreshing time to go off the regular study and just open it up to everybody who, you know, always had something good to say or he had something good to teach us. And who hath despised the day of small things? I mean, they're small things, but when you compile them all together year after year and day after day, him as pastor, he was truly a wonderful man and a good man.
Is there a song that you'd like to connect with?
Yeah, His Eyes on the Sparrow.
794 in your songbook, in your hymn book. 794. All right, 794.
Testimony. We have somebody in the back there.
I love to hear my grandpa preach.
Amen. Amen. That's good.
And me and grandpa always saying holy, holy, holy.
Ah, okay. Amen. Song number 9 in the hymn book. Holy, holy, holy. Amen. And Brother Carl's going to give a little testimony as well in a moment.
All right. We'll get him in real quick.
He's got the microphone for afterwards.
Our song shall rise to thee.
Brother Carl speaks. Is there anybody on this side who would like to speak after Brother Carl? Okay, what we're going to do is we're going to do the first and the last of any songs, okay, so we can cut some of that out, because that way give up opportunity for everybody. You're going to be after Brother Carl. Brother Carl. Hey, how you doing, brother? Good to see you.
Well, I thought this would be easy, but guess not. Yesterday, I heard it said that 40 years is a long time for a pastor to be in one church. 30 years ago, I walked away because he rebuked me and told me what I was doing wrong. And thank God he was here for 40 years, because when I came back, he told me that I was back on track. He assured me and told me not to dwell on the past and just pick up where I left off. So thank God for the 40 years plus that he was here. I don't have a song.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Carl just came back to church a few months ago, and thank the Lord that he got back to hear that preacher that rebuked him say, it's okay, amen, and you're back with the Lord again, and we thank God for that. Amen.
My name is Joshua Moll. I will not be able to get through this. But I grew up here at this church up until fourth grade. This is where I went to church, and I'll say that I have two things. The first one actually has to do with that song, Holy, Holy, Holy. Growing up, Rachel Freeman actually taught piano lessons. And that was the first song that I played in a church service for a special. And I couldn't even sing through that song. But the memory that I often have fondly is after one of the services that Pastor Gary preached. I can't remember what it was on, but I think the basis, it had to do with David and Goliath. And as a young kid, this fascinated me, but with the height that I was then, he told me that if I stood on top of Pastor Gary's head, that would be the height of Goliath. And as a kid, that enlightened my eyes. It was amazing to think that was the size of Goliath and the power that he had. But growing up, we were pretty much the only kids at Ray Street that was on a consistent basis. And just the interaction that he had with us was a blessing. Definitely helped. And the song that I'd like to sing had been my favorite song from then until now. It's song number 812, Victory in Jesus.
Is there anybody over here that would like to testify in a moment? Okay, after we sing this song, you'll be ready, okay?
Okay. All right. 812, all going to very back on the index. I'm Cheryl, and I've been attending. Oh, really? Okay. I'm Cheryl, and I've been attending this church off and on. When I say off and on, I've been here for, maybe 8 years or so. But the thing that I can remember about Pastor Freeman is his love and his patience, because, you know, you have to have a lot of patience to deal with somebody like me. But it was his love, his patience, and his kindness. And just wanted to testify that many times when I was going through something physically, spiritually, emotionally, Pastor and his wife Donna was always there for me. Pastor Freeman was an example to me and still is, because he always was faithful, and he always taught us to be faithful. He always taught about being faithful and keeping on the straight and narrow. And he always was a man that had principles, and he also had great core values. And I just thank the Lord for him, because he was a man that never swayed from the word. He always taught the word. He always preached the word in and out of season. He was always here, no matter what. And he was a great example for a man of God and our preacher.
Next. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
My name is Jim, and my wife here is Lucy. We've been members here for a little while. We were led to the Lord by one time Pastor Freeman and Pastor Fredena down in the lunchroom. And then we were later on baptized by Pastor Freeman and Brother Jason up there. But what I wanted to say now is I had a hard time getting through that song, Eye of the Sparrow. Nobody, no preacher in Catasauqua sang that song a cappella like Preacher Freeman could. He could bellow that song out and not miss a word. That's all I have. Thank you.
All right. What we're going to do is Brother Sam's going to give a testimony.
Okay. I don't get to turn my own mic on very often, but I did that. But what I'd like to say is, first of all, I really appreciate everything that all the preachers and everybody else here has said about Pastor Freeman, not just today, but yesterday. And everybody has a different perspective on how Pastor Freeman touched their life. In my case, I would like to give the perspective of someone who sat under his teaching. And I could spend a lot of time talking about his teaching. But just to say, the thing I think was very paramount in Pastor Freeman's teaching was his very solid stand on the King James Version of the Bible. It's not just an opinion. It's not just something that you can take or leave. If you study the whole issue, which is rich in history and many other things, far too much to go into now, many good books written on the subject. But Pastor Freeman would do during his preaching is he would point out errors in other versions and sometimes take an entire Sunday school to compare Bible versions and show what the King James says and what other versions say. And it's not just a matter of a couple words. It's a matter of doctrine being changed, taking away the deity of Jesus Christ and other things. You know, so it's very important. And I would say, as a good teacher, if you had a teacher in school, they would make sure they would point out your errors. Otherwise, you wouldn't be a good student. How would you get good grades, and how would you carry on in life? Just in the secular realm, if you don't have good knowledge and you don't understand arithmetic and English and many other things, they would have to point out your errors. Well, Pastor Freeman did that very well for us. He pointed out errors, and those things in the spiritual realm could hurt a person, especially someone that's not saved, and they don't have the clear view of doctrine that saves us. And I appreciate Pastor Freeman for that. I was saved before I came here, but I appreciate what he did to teach many things about the King James Version that I didn't know before, and he inspired me to study a lot of things, to read a lot of history books on the subject, and it only affirmed my belief in that. And while I'm on the subject, I'd just like to say that Dan Waite is here. His father, Donald Waite, and Dan also were hosting the conference down in Collingswood, New Jersey, and the big banner up there to the right of the platform that celebrated the 400 years of King James was a wonderful event. I wish everybody here could have gone to it. It was well done. There was a lot of good speakers, and a lot of things were said that support a firm foundation in the King James Bible. And I do have a song. It's number 212 in the Blue Book. And if Pastor Freeman was here, he'd know why I picked it.
Thank you.
son is going to say a word. Is there anybody on this side that would like to testify? Okay, Brother Joe, you'll be after. You'll be after Caleb, right?
Caleb.
Yes. You'll be after Caleb, right? Caleb.
One thing I liked about my grandfather was I always liked to hear him sing. And one of the favorite songs that I liked to hear him sing was Unclouded Day. I just can hear him singing it right now, and I would really like to sing that. So, yeah.
Unclouded Day, that's exactly where grandfather said. No more clouds. Number 81 in the 101 book, please.
16
in the hymn of that.
Thank you.
testimony. We're going to have a special, I believe, Brother Jason, and I think you're going to need this. Are you good? Okay, we're going to have a special after this young lady gives testimony. If you would, please.
Hi, so me and my family started coming here about 3.5 years ago when my husband actually found the church's website and started listening to Pastor Freeman's service sermons. And so when we had started coming here, I had just started taking up a degree in religion where I was studying under basically a Jewish scholar of the Bible. And he was, you know, really, really brilliant man. But every time I didn't know when I took his classes that he was actually a historical biblical critic. So every day I would go to these classes and I would leave like feeling defeated and like with all this inner turmoil. And I had no idea what I believed by the end of the day. And so at the same time that started, we started coming here, and Pastor Freeman, on my very first day here, had started his teaching on dispensationalism. So that was just like such a blessing to me to really see God's word rightly divided in the way that it should be. And that cleared up so many issues that I had. And I learned more in this church in 1 year than my entire year, or my entire life of Christian school and going to church and everything that I've done. And I never had any security of salvation until I heard him preach. And I'm just really happy that we found this place, because it's because of Pastor Freeman and Donna that Luke and Jeremiah are saved.
Amen. So amen. Amen. Thank you. take a few more opportunities. Let me just mention something I've already shared with this church, going through this time of difficulty, that some things about heaven, just a few thoughts about heaven. Number one, heaven is a real place. Amen. It's not imagination. It's real. Amen. It's as real as New Jersey. Amen. Heaven is a real, it's better off. Less taxes too there. But the Lord Jesus said, when you pray, remember our Father which art in heaven. Amen. Not only is heaven a real place, it's a restricted place. Bad things will not be there. Heaven's not going to be a wonderful place because of all the wonderful things that are there. Heaven's going to be a wonderful place because of the things that won't be there. Amen. No more sorrow. No more curse. No more pain. No more night. Amen. None of these things. And no more hindrances to our fellowship with God. Amen. And so heaven is a restricted place. But it's also a resting place. You know, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. From henceforth, they shall rest from their labors. I don't believe that heaven's going to be a resting place because of a lack of activity. I think it's going to be a resting place because of a lack of anxiety. Amen. And heaven's a real place. Heaven's a restricted place. It's a resting place. Heaven is a rejoicing place. In fact, I think of Psalms chapter 16, verse number 11, in thy presence. And the fact is, that verse is talking about heaven. In thy presence is the fullness of joy. You know, here in this life, we can have a lot of joy, but we know that it's not going to last. I think it was D.L. Moody said, every one of our buckets have holes in them. Amen. And so we got to keep on getting filled up with it, right? But in heaven, there's no hindrances to that joy. And there'll be a fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. Heaven's a real place, a restricted place, a resting place, a rejoicing place. And finally, I say this. Heaven is a reserved place. You have to now accept the Lord as your Savior. You have to now make sure your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You don't get it in there when you get there. Amen. There's no big scale in heaven. God's going to weigh the good and the bad. No, 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 no. You trust on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior today. I know some people believe it's a sin to believe that you can be saved now. That's a sin of presumption. I don't think so. I think 1 John chapter 3 says, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. Amen. But we know when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. It's a reserved place. In fact, I think of 1 Peter chapter 1. It talks about being born again, begotten again by the mercy of God unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, unto a place incorruptible that fadeth not away, get this, reserved in heaven for you. Amen. And we thank God that our brother is there. Amen. We talk about what shall be, but what shall be for us is already for him. Amen. And we thank God for that. So we're going to take now a few more opportunities. We're going to go, I believe, to this side. Oh, no, we went to this side. This side next. Is anybody on this side like to give a brief testimony? Okay, we got somebody back there, and we'll come to you in a moment. Anybody on this side, so we get you ready. Anybody on this side? All right. Okay, you hold this because you're going to be after our brother. Here you go, my brother.
Yeah, I'd just like to say a few words in memory of Pastor. I remember I've been coming to this church for about 15 years now, and I remember I've been coming here about 3 years, and my dad passed away, and he never knew my dad, never met him. Unfortunately, he was not saved. He passed away, and I asked him if he would do the funeral, and he says yes, he would. And so that really stuck out, and he did the funeral, preached the word to everybody, and it was a real blessing. And a couple years after that, about 2 years after that, my wife's sister died, and he didn't know her also, but I believe that she was saved. And the family didn't have a church to go to do this. So they asked me to ask the pastor if he would do it. I asked Gary, and Gary said, sure. And he allowed us to use the church, and he preached the gospel to them. So those are the memories that I had, and I'm very grateful that he did that for both sides of my family. And also, I'm just going to miss him for sometimes that we would go out and bike ride on trails. His, one of his favorite trails was the Ironton Trail right down here. And so I'm just going to miss going out with him on there. And also, he was liked trains, and him and I shared a love for trains. And so that sometimes I would see a train, especially an old steamer in Jim Thorpe or anywhere that I would go, and I would take pictures and I would show it to him, and we'd have discussions and a good time. So I'm just going to miss those times. So thank you. And a song, one of his favorite songs was in the Blue Book, page 3, I think it was.
All right. So we're going to do verses 1, 3, and 5. All right?
I remember coming into this church. I'm going to try not to be long. When I was 12 years old, and it was an unbelievable experience. My mother, many of you know my dear mother Marge, she started coming here before me, and she had gotten saved. And I was always scared of going to, you know, going where I'd go to hell. And having seen a sign on a rock up in Palmerton, where will you spend eternity, heaven or hell? And I wanted to know the answer. Well, my mom had gotten saved, and I started coming here and hearing Pastor Freeman preach the gospel, and it was just so plain and simple. And it wasn't long thereafter that I was saved and baptized in December 1987 through God working through Pastor Freeman and helping me understand the gospel and being saved at a young age. And the understanding, like Brother Sam said, of the King James Bible, his passion for singing, and just the many sweet times of fellowship we had. We took a trip down to the wilds in North Carolina, and also to, prior to that, when I was 12, 13, actually, we took a trip down to a Bible camp in Rarersburg with Brother Pastor Hargrove here, and just so many memories with him, Gettysburg and the picnics, and just this church family is such a blessing, and I'm thankful for the many years here, and just so thankful for the inspiration that Pastor Freeman was to not just me, but to so many, his love for the Lord, his love for singing and praising and worshiping the Lord, and, you know, it was just, he knew that Jesus paid it all, and he loved the Lord Jesus Christ with all his heart, and he was just such an inspiration to me and to follow after, and I wouldn't be where I am today if it wasn't for what the Lord using Pastor Freeman as a vessel of mercy for his use, and it was so hard to see him go through what he went through, and I'm thankful his suffering is over and that he is with the Lord rejoicing, and I'm sure he hasn't stopped singing since he got there. My song is, I got the wrong number. Jesus paid it all.
One 185.
Thank you.
today. Before Sister Rachel speaks, is there anybody else on this side that would just like to give a brief testimony? Anybody at all? Okay, we'll be able to go after Sister Rachel. Rachel, if you would.
I know most of you have mentioned, and a lot did yesterday, about my dad's love for music, but one memory I think I'll hang on to. Growing up on Friday nights, our family would always, maybe not always, I shouldn't say that, but quite regularly on Friday nights, we would just gather around the piano, grab something to play and sing, and it was just hours we'd spend doing that growing up, and that's a fond memory that I will hang on to. Sadie, one, I'll meet you in the morning.
Ah, good one. I'll meet you, yes. Say this, he loved two hymn books. The one you spell H-I-M. He loved this book that was all about him. And then he liked this hymn book and that hymn book and the other ones. I mean, they pull out so many hymn books. When I first met Brother Freeman a couple years ago and he invited me to preach here and I came in, man, I was like, any preacher would love to preach after the singing that goes on here. Amen. I mean, somebody asked me years ago, what do you think about the music ministry in a church? And I said, you know what I think the music ministry in a church is? The music ministry is the John the Baptist of the church. You said, what is John the Baptist? He came to prepare the way of the Lord, to prepare our hearts for the word. And that's what singing does. And I sat here, this is always where I sat. Today I was shoved back there, but I usually sit up front with Brother Freeman. And I'll tell you what, his voice was so loud. There was a couple times we were singing hymns, he wasn't here, and I thought I heard him. I'm telling you, it was still ringing. I mean, he would just, he sang from his heart. That's why it was so, you know. And so I know he loves two hymn books, and he passed that love on to this church too. Because usually how a church goes is how the heart of that preacher is. If a preacher loves the word and loves the hymn, that goes on to the church. And so I want to thank the Lord for my brother as well. Sister, if you'll go, and then Brother Jason, would you finish us up?
I just want to add a word of humor here. The reason I'm here is because of the outfit Pastor wore the day I came in. Back up, I was saved 30 years ago out of Roman Catholicism. Didn't know where to go to church. Had seen in the newspaper the articles. Was very blessed by what I read. And I said, Lord, I think that's where I need to be. as I was telling people I was planning on coming here, they said, oh, don't go there. It's a very rigid church. They don't believe in dancing. They don't believe in drinking. And I thought I was more intrigued by all of that. And I thought to myself, if he has on a black suit and a black shirt and tie with a black Bible by his side with a stern look, I'm going out the back door. Needless to say, I walked in. He had a
black suit.
Lovely gray suit on with a light shirt. Yeah. And he walked right up with a big smile on his face and shook my sister and I our hands.
Amen.
And was very friendly. And, well, I've been here 30 years, and I've grown through the preaching of the word and nothing that I've learned in Catholicism in all the years that I've been here. I just thank the Lord for him and his preaching and his strong stand.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, sister.
I guess I could say a few things. And I don't know where to start, and I don't know where to stop, but it won't be that long. I do remember those times gathered around the piano at our house singing, and they would go on for hours. And sometimes we'd include some of you. Some of you might have been there for some of this. And often people would come over to the house, and we'd have dinner, and it would always break out into song, it seemed. If there was anything that my dad loved as much or more than preaching, it would have been singing. And I'm not sure what he's better at, preaching or singing, because he was good at both. And I wish I had the voice that he has had. And the song that I sang yesterday for the funeral, I just loved the second verse where it says, I wish I could see the angels' faces when they hear your sweet voice sing. And I know in heaven we're all going to have perfect voices, but his was closer to it than some. And I shared this story with a few people, and but I'm just going to share this one, and I'm going to sing a couple of his favorite songs. And that's another hard thing. There were so many songs that I've sung here. To pick out one or two that were his very most favorites is very difficult. And this might sound carnal also, but he was my biggest fan, if you could say that. There was never a service where he didn't want to hear something sung, and often he'd say, you know, Jason, sing something, pick out another song and let's sing it. And and he was my favorite singing partner too. Our voices blended so well, and I look fondly back on the times where I'd sit here playing and looking up at his face and waiting for his mouth to move for the next word so that I knew how to play right along. And it was a match that you know, was developed over the years, and I just knew where he was going. Sometimes he'd start singing a phrase, and I'd just pick right up on the piano, and man, I'm going to miss that. But it's there in my mind, and I think all of us are going to remember those times. But the story I was going to tell you about was Wednesday. It was a Wednesday afternoon. We just moved in with my folks, and we were living down the basement. And the goal was there to be able to help out and then take care of him. And he had gotten to a point where his legs were so bad that I had to bear hug him and pick him up to get him up off his bed and then move him to his chair. And then when he wanted to get out of the chair, I had to pick him up. And he was able to kind of walk a little bit with some help, though. And I kind of thought that things were just going to go that direction where eventually I'd only be able to pick him up and move him. And it was only about a week that happened until he went into the hospice care. But that Wednesday, he was laying in his bed, and he had papers spread out on him, and he had a big folder out. And I said, what are you doing? And I sat down on Mom's bed that was right next to his, and he said, well, I got to call this preacher, and I got to call this school, and I got to call this person, because he was concerned about finding a replacement for himself. And I asked him, I said, well, have you thought about this college or have you thought about this preacher? No, he goes, I got to call him. And I said, well, I don't mean you have to call him right now, but he said, no, I got to call him right now. I'm losing my mind. And I said, all right, Dad, Dad, stop. I said, you got a church full of people that you have well trained. They've gotten 41 years of your teaching and your preaching, and they know what they believe. I said, I don't think there's a church around where all the people in the church can be asked, hey, what do you believe about this? And they don't start off with, well, my pastor believes this. There might be some, but this was that kind of a church. People would ask you folks, what do you believe about such and such and such, and almost name the issue. And you had a response because you knew and you were taught. And he was such a great Bible teacher. And I told him, I said, Dad, you don't have to do anything further. I said, the legacy, remember several months ago, he said, I want to leave a legacy behind. I want to preach on the dispensations. I said, Dad, your legacy is complete. I said, you've got a 41-year legacy here. And he said, you know what? You're right. And almost symbolically, he took all those papers and he just kind of stuffed them back in the folder, and he closed the folder and he laid it on the table next to him, and he never opened it again. And it was the next day that his mind started to go on him. He began to hallucinate, and he knew things were at the end for him as far as being able to lead the church. He said, I can't do it anymore. My mind is gone. And almost symbolically, that closing of the book meant we got to open the book. And now we've got a group of men here that have been charged to take over the searching out of a new preacher. And by God's grace, we're going to find one. But in the meantime, God's brought a wonderful man and his wife to us, Matt Renzi. And he's agreed to do that. And we're so thankful for that. Hey, God's taking care of us. And as down as we may feel sometimes and maybe feeling like all hope is gone, Pastor Freeman's gone. No, the Lord keeps taking care of us. And we don't need to have the answer for 3 years from now, right now. We got the answer for today, and we got the answer for tomorrow, and we just put one foot in front of the other, and we're going to be fine. And I told my dad this while we were sitting there, and he had tears in his eyes, and we hugged, and we had a nice, tender moment together, and he said, you know what, you're right. And I told him, I said, you just concentrate on keeping yourself comfortable, spend as much time as you can with your family, your kids, your grandkids, your wife, and that's what he did. That is exactly what he did the rest of the days that he had left. And so I picked out two songs here I'd like to sing for you. This one he requested was one of the last songs he ever requested for me to sing. And he definitely was doing this. The song's called Thinking About Home. A penny for your thoughts, I said to the old man, as he sat there on the park bench all alone, with silver hair and wrinkled brown eyes gleaming. He smiled and said, just thinking about my home. So I sat down and we shared some laughs together, and the cinema of remembrance, it did roll. We talked about life's gains and yes, its losses, but mostly he just talked about his home. He said, I'm thinking about home, I'm thinking about going home, I'm dreaming about leaving here, I'm ready to be moving on. It won't be long before the sun will set and I'll be gone, but until then, I'll be thinking about home. I said to the old man, where's your home and what's it like? He said, oh, ain't nothing round here can compare. You see, a king, he had it built and he gave the deed to me. And most of my family's already there. Said, I'm thinking about home, I'm thinking about going home, I'm dreaming about leaving here, I'm ready to be moving on. It won't be long before the sun will set and I'll be gone, but until then, I'll be thinking about home. Said,
home. I'm dreaming about leaving here. I'm ready to be moving on. It won't be long before the sun will set and I'll be gone. But until then, I'll be thinking about home. It won't be long before the sun will set and I'll be gone. But until then, I'll be thinking about home.
And then one more song that he always enjoyed hearing. It became my grandparents, his parents, one of their favorite songs that they like to hear too. About 2 years ago, when the Freemans had come to visit, my grandpa Freeman was standing over here with Lance Gottwald, and Lance shook his hand and he said, "Preach to us, Jesus." And so this song came to mind that Sunday. I wanted to sing it, and it became one of their favorites. It's called "Tell Me One More Time About Jesus."
Tell me one more time about Jesus. All about forgiveness and grace. Tell me one more time about Jesus. I want to see my Savior's face. Here comes my old friend, the preacher. He's knocking on my front door. 'Cause I'm trying to save all the sinners. He's been here so many times before. Love the easy conversation. Man, that preacher sure can talk. He brings up my need for salvation. Even though he knows I'm stubborn to a fault. Tell me one more time about Jesus. All about forgiveness and grace. Tell me one more time about Jesus. Lord, I need just a little more faith. Walked by the church Sunday morning. I slipped on in the back row. It's sure been a long time coming. Tell me, preacher, just what I need to know. His word like a cool drink of water. Oh, he said, sinners, come on down the aisle. So I went running for that altar. You should have seen my old friend, the preacher, smile. Tell me one more time about Jesus. All about forgiveness and grace. to see my Savior's face. Favorite song right towards the end, the last, the last year, maybe year and a half. In my Father's house, everything's all right. He's there now.
Praise the Lord. Ralph, what's that number? 211 in the chorus book. 211 in the chorus book.
Direction that was not biblical, and I realized I need to go. And it really boiled down to only one choice, and that was to come here. There really wasn't anything other that was worth checking out. And so I've been here now since August of 2014, and it's been such a blessing to be here. And it wasn't long after I came that Pastor started telling me, I need your help. And so I've been glad to help in whatever areas I could, leading the songs. Eventually, he couldn't do that and preach at the same time. It was too much. And so I'm not him, and he never tried to get me to be him,
But I tried to keep the energy up and be, get the church to still sing as well as we can. And I hope that that's the case still. And then he also said, hey, can you teach for me? Yes. And that's been a blessing to me to be able to do that. I'm not a preacher, but due to the heritage that I have and my own personal study of God's word, I've been blessed to be able to share God's word with anyone that I can. So that's been such a blessing to me, and I will miss him terribly. But God's work goes on. It's not dependent on a man or men. God is the one that does things, and we are only his willing instruments. And when it's time for one man to lay his armor down, God raises up another man to take his place. And that's what we're seeking right now. And let's pray to that end. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for today, for the blessing that it has been to be here. We thank you for the preaching and the teaching of your word that we've heard today. We thank you for the fond memories that all of us have of Pastor Freeman and the work that you used him to do in our own lives. And yes, we miss him greatly, and we always will until we meet in glory. But until that day comes, Lord, help us to be faithful and continue the work that you have called us to do. For those of us men who are on the pastoral search committee, I pray that we would seek your face and that we would do what we need to do to find the right man. And we pray that you would guide us and direct us. Thank you for Brother Renzi being willing to come and preach here during the time that we're searching. And we pray that you would use him to continue to be a strengthening and a blessing to each one of us. Give us safety as we travel to our places of rest. And we pray that as we leave this place, that we would serve you this week faithfully in doing whatever it is that you have called us to do. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.